We'll let the guys pass those out. Be turning, please, to Colossians, book of Colossians, chapter 1. And we're going to read some of that first chapter, and part of it has to do with these magnificent creatures we call angels. Tonight, we're going to consider some of the names of angels and how they're described. And then we're not done yet. Lord willing, next time we'll consider something about the ministry of angels and what the Bible says about that. There's an awful lot about angels in the Bible. And as so many other subjects we could speak of tonight, angels would be one of those things that if the Bible did not tell us about these magnificent creatures, we would know very little, if anything. Thank God for His Word that tells us about who they are and what they do, and so we're not totally in the dark. Though I will be quick to add, there's a lot of mystery about these creatures. We know enough to know what God wants us to know, obviously, but we don't know everything we might like to know about these angels. And I guess that's for good reason, because we're going to be with them for all eternity, and we'll get to know them real well. We'll be with them. That's a thought, isn't it? All these angels, good angels, that is, holy angels. Well, I think everybody has the paper now. Thank you, men, for being faithful to get those out. And you have the note paper if you want to jot some notes as we go along. Let's begin reading now in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I wanted us to read this scripture because we've just come out of communion, and doesn't that describe the importance of what we just observed? We have redemption through His blood, it says in verse 14, even the forgiveness of sins. There is redemption, salvation, and forgiveness through no other means than through the blood of Jesus Christ. Which leads us now to verse 15. Who, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We've read through verse 17, and now let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you again for this service, what it has meant to our hearts and souls. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And Lord, for the communion time, we're especially grateful that you have given us this means, the means of grace, one of the many means and blessings of grace by which you remind us of the sacrifice made on the cross of Calvary, as your Son, the Lord Jesus, died in our place. And we remember him in this way because you told us to. And Lord, we appreciate so much you telling us to do that in remembrance of him, because through the bread and through the juice, the cup, we have a vivid reminder that it was his body and his blood that was shed. And by that, we have our salvation. What a price. What an infinite price you paid to redeem us and save us, bring us back to yourself, and take us out of the realm of darkness into your kingdom of light. It's all by grace, we know that. And we thank you again for that wonderful reminder through communion. We thank you for your word now that reveals to us these creatures we call angels. And you have other names for them, and help us to see that tonight. And may we take these names to heart, these descriptions of these wonderful beings that are reflections of you, Lord, your creativity and your power, and this incredible world you've made, not only of the visible things, but of the invisible world. And by you, it all holds together, and it all answers to you. And we just pray through our study tonight, you be high and lifted up in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see there in your notes, I'm not going to read that, but there is a visible part of God's creation. There's an invisible part of God's creation. God is a God of infinite creativity, and he is a God of order, isn't he? He is a God of order. And he, of course, is supreme, and under him there are all these different kinds of creatures, from the highest angel we know as an archangel, the chief angel, right on down to the lowest form of life. We might think of a worm or something like that. How God makes everything, puts it in its place, and it all has a purpose. And the very simple purpose of all creatures, including the angels, and yes, including you and me as well, all people, all angels, all trees, all things in outer space, everything on earth, under the sea, in the sky, all of it is made for one purpose, and that is to glorify and praise its creator. So to that extent that we do that, we are fulfilling our purpose. Oh, what we can learn from the angels, how they fulfill their purpose and their assignment. Well, let's get to it in the time we have allotted to us tonight. I want to give you some of the Bible names for angels. Now here, we'll come back to this designation in verse 16, where it speaks of these thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. You see those terms in verse 16? Obviously, it's talking about things in this invisible part of God's world or God's universe that have order. And they have evidently rank and different levels, just structure that it implies here, and areas of authority. And the important thing to take away from this, though we don't know all the details we might like to know about the thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, we know that God is over it all. To be specific, Christ is the one who created all of these levels of being. And we're told in verse 17, He holds it all together. By Him all things consist. That word consist means hold together. And we normally think of that in terms of the part of creation like outer space and, you know, the earth and the planets and the stars and how all the molecules and everything are held together. But that's true of human beings. You're put together with different parts too. And you don't go flying off, you know, a piece here, a piece there, an atom here, a molecule there. And why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ made you and He holds you together. And He holds these angels together. And so He has everything. He put it there. He contains it and keeps it there. And if He didn't, it would be a chaos everywhere. So God's a God of creative power. He's a God of organization. And it just makes us stop and think about all of that. And in this organization of angels, we find these references that we'll come back to. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. But then also I want to mention these that we're told about. And you have just a little something there that describes them or helps us understand what the Bible's getting at. Number one in our list, they're called watchers. Not because they have a watch, but they watch. They observe. This has to do evidently with their alertness. Did Jesus not tell us to watch and pray? And so this seems to be the idea here. And this term, watchers, as found in our English Bible, is only found in the book of Daniel. Now the reference you have in 1 Corinthians 4 and 9 may describe part of what they do as watchers, and that is they observe in some way, and maybe everything, we're not told, but at least in some ways they observe what's going on here on earth. Because we're told in that reference, 1 Corinthians 4 and 9, that the apostles were a spectacle to the world and to angels. So it's as if they're watching, they're observing, they're taking things in. And as your note suggests there in part, we're told the angels desire to investigate things about our salvation. You could say not only are they alert and watchful in that sense, but they're curious. They have a holy curiosity. It says there in 1 Peter 1 and 12 that the things pertaining to our salvation are things that angels desire to look into. How about that? Because they've never been saved. None of them have ever been saved. There's not a redeemed angel. There are holy angels, but they never fail. The ones that are holy, they're just the ones that didn't fall. They're the ones that did not rebel. And so salvation, redemption, the very thing that we have worshiped centered around the communion tonight, it intrigues these angels. They're watchers. More could be said there, obviously, but we'll not stop there. We've got more ground to cover. This next one, I want to be careful with this and not belabor it, but want to make a distinction. Put in the word gods, but it really should be written with a small g. It may come up as a big G, but we know there's only one big G God, right? So that is the part I don't want you to be confused. But they are referred to with this name Elohim, the Hebrew word Elohim, which is also used of the one and only God. Now, how could that be? Well, that word Elohim can mean superior one. Obviously, it refers to God. He is the superior one above all others. He is supreme in a class by Himself. But as applied to angels, when they're mentioned with that term of supreme ones, it means they're superior to humans. They're not on the same level as God because, why is that? Very simple. God is the creator. They are a creature. And vast is that difference. There is an infinite gulf between God and angels. In fact, I believe it's Paul Washer that says in one of his excellent writings that the archangel and all of the angels that are around the throne of God are closer to the lowest worm than they are to God as far as their nature is concerned. Now just put that under your thinking cap. Because they're creatures. There's a vast gulf between any creature, even the highest of creatures, and God. But it just reminds us that they are superior beings. They're not anything like humans, obviously. They don't have a limitation of human beings. And they're not, of course, anywhere close to the animals. They're far superior, but yet very inferior to God. Now, why would God make creatures at different levels? Well, obviously, they not being like God or on the same level, but they reflect something of God's majesty, don't they? They reflect something of his ability. We're going to talk about the power of angels, the might of angels, and the splendor. This has to do with like the splendor of their being. It's a reflection of their creator. We're made in the image of God. We're not told that angels are made in the image of God, but we're to be a reflection of God. And angels, in even that way of splendor and majesty. Let's move on. They're called host of God, or another way to think of that is God's armies, God's angel armies. Turn with me over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Near the end of Psalm 103, we find these words. Psalm 103, verse 20. Where it says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts." That's not talking about someone different or another group. It's talking about the angels still. "Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Again, reminding us, all creatures, great and small, are to bless the Lord or praise the Lord, including these angels that are described as these his angels and obedient angels, excelling in strength. We'll say more about that in a minute. And they're called his host. We sometimes refer to them as the heavenly host. Remember the announcement that came to the shepherds, and there was a multitude of the heavenly host, the heavenly army. So they're pictured as God's heavenly army. Some of us grew up, Jimmy, you and I there at Virginia Avenue Baptist Church grew up. We sang it, I don't think every Sunday, but we sang it often, and many of you probably grew up in Southern Baptist Church. It was sung fairly often, the doxology. Remember the old, it's called the old 100th, I think. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him above, ye heavenly host." Remember that? It's referring to angels. A call to praise the Lord. "Praise him all creatures here below." That's us. And then "praise him above, ye heavenly host." "Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." So they are the host, the armies. And, of course, the Lord's title is Lord of Hosts. He's a supreme commander. Number four is saints. Sometimes translated holy ones. And you will know from your study of the Bible, I'm sure, that that same word, saints, is used of believers. The idea we're holy, they're holy, we're holy. What's holy mean? Well, it ought to tell us something about ourselves if we're called the same thing as angels. It's simply a reminder they have been set apart for God for his purpose. The same is true of us. We have been set apart. We shouldn't want in any way to blend in with people of the world. I know we love them. We have contact with them. We can't escape the world, nor do we want to escape the world until our time comes. But we're different than the world. We have been marked out, set out, and so have the angels. They're called the saints. They're called the holy ones, and their actions and their assignment. It has to do with them being devoted to God. Are they ever devoted? And what a lesson that is to us. We should be devoted. We're not an angel, of course. And sometimes we joke around like, you got your halo on, or, you know, is that a halo I see? But we should lay that kind of joking aside, and we should strive to be holy. That's who we are. We're the saints. And they set the pattern for us in that regard. They're called the saints, the holy ones. Then we're told, we read this last time, they're ministering spirits. Ministering spirits. Sent forth to minister to them who are heirs of salvation. And that would be us. They're spirit creatures, but they are ministering spirits. And the word ministering, as your note points out, has to do with the commissioning. That is, they've been authorized. They've been commissioned. They are official. Given that assignment to minister on God's behalf to us. Now, I know God can minister directly, and most times that's what He does. He ministers to us directly. But in many ways, and whenever He chooses, He can minister to us through people. We minister to one another. And there are times that God sends angels to minister. So the point is, they're available to do what God commands them to do on our behalf. They're ready. They stand ready. And sometimes He gives them assignments, and they minister as He tells them to. We're going to see next time, when we get into the ministry of angels, and we'll look at this totally, that they minister not only to Christians, believers, but they minister to God. And how do they do that? What is their ministry to God? We'll see that. Number six, they're called flames of fire. Fire is a symbol of God's holiness. It may also refer to their zeal. They're not lazy. They're enthused. This is the picture we get. They are ready. They're willing. And they're pure. Fire has to do with that. And so all of these have to do with that image. They're called flames of fire. They also are involved in destruction. If you've read the book of Revelation, many of you have, or you've gone through Ed's class or similar class or a series of sermons, you know that angels have a big part in the pouring out of various plagues and various kinds of destruction. And so fire is spoken of in that way. Let's take our Bibles real quick and turn to 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. It's an interesting story. Back in the Old Testament. Having to do with Elisha. Remember, there was Elijah and then Elisha, who was his successor. And this is a story involving Elisha here in 2 Kings 6. Begin the reading in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God there referred to as Elisha, Elisha's servants talking about, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. Now that host, we're told earlier, was the army of the Syrians. The Syrian army was after Elisha. And so they were encompassed, surrounded by this Syrian army. And his servant said unto him, that is, the servant said unto Elisha, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? And he answered, as Elisha answered the servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, it doesn't actually state that those were angels, but I believe that exactly that's what they were. Because they're spoken of as flames of fire. They're also protectors of God's people. We'll see that. We'll talk about that again when we come to the ministry of angels. But see here, they appear horses and chariots of fire. And until the servant's eyes were open, he couldn't see. Apparently, the Lord had already revealed these creatures that were stationed around. He had revealed that to Elisha. And Elisha wanted the servant to have the benefit of knowing that not only were they surrounded by the Syrian army, they were surrounded by the heavenly host. The Lord had dispatched them to take care of them and protect them. So that's an interesting little glimpse. And if only the Lord would open our eyes where we could see the invisible world, oh my goodness. Can you imagine what we would see on any given day? But of course, that's not His will. So we shouldn't long for that or pray for that or work ourselves up to that, to where we thought we saw an angel. You know, you can talk yourself into seeing that. We shouldn't go there. But we appreciate the fact that these men saw them and they were real. Amen? Flames of fire. I think we know who took over that event. In fact, we do. If you read on, you'll find that they were stricken with blindness. That is, the Syrian army was stricken with blindness. And so we must move on now. They're called elect angels. They're in 1 Timothy 5:21. This is number 7. Elect angels. And these are a way of describing those that didn't fall with Satan. And elect, as we said this morning in the message, means chosen. So apparently these are ones that the Lord is protecting or confirming, it's been said, that word confirmed in holiness, where they won't defect like some of the angels did. At least they're holy. And apparently, say apparently, they will not fall at any future time like some of them did long ago. And we're not sure exactly when that happened, but it happened. Now here's another interesting one. It's the next one, sons of God. They're called the sons of God. If you read the first two chapters in the book of Job, you'll see that they're referred to that way. And they appeared before God, and Satan also came with them. So they show up, they present themselves, and there again, it's a description of them being accountable to God. And they're called sons of God because they're created by God. They're also called morning stars. It's said in Job again, chapter 38 and verse 7, that the morning stars sang for joy at the creation of the world. And that refers to the angels. They were joyful at the world and everything else being created. So they apparently were created before the world. And we're not going to read Revelation 12, but we know that Satan and the angels are pictured there as stars. Well, Satan actually is pictured as the great red dragon, but the stars were brought down, and that's a reference to the angels. So they're stars. They're called stars for their brilliance and so forth. Then another is sons of the mighty, because as we've seen, they are mighty creatures, majestic and mighty. Schofield, many of you have a Schofield Bible. It used to be the study Bible in Baptist churches. Remember that? If you had a Schofield Bible, you had the good tool that you could use to study the Bible. Some of you still have one of those. Very good Bible. And he says in one of his study notes that this is one of the chief characteristics of angels. And that's a point well taken. It is. They are not weak little dainty creatures as they are portrayed. They are mighty creatures. Mighty, powerful, sons of the mighty. And then this one is the term angels itself, which means messengers. They are obedient in delivering God's messages when called upon to do so. And look at the magnitude of the messages that they delivered. main messages, important messages, crucial messages about John the Baptist, about the conception and the name and the mission of Christ. I referred to that verse this morning. They shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. A message straight from heaven given to an angel to relay. And then the birth of Christ and the resurrection, the ascension and return of Christ. So God could speak from heaven in an audible voice, and he's done that. But right next to that, in power, would be to authorize an angel or a group of angels to come with a heavenly announcement, a heavenly message. But I said this last week, and I want to say it again in the time we have remaining, we're about out of time, is this, that the Lord has not entrusted to angels the assignment of getting the gospel out. That's our assignment. Amen. And so we need to take our assignment seriously. We have this gospel truth, we've been entrusted with it, and we need to preach it, we need to share it personally, we need to give it out in literature, we need to hand out Bibles, and that's our assignment. And then three named angels, number 12, and the last one is this, three named angels, and you probably know who they are already. The first one is Michael, the archangel. We'll come back to that when we consider the organization and ministry of angels. We'll come back and just touch on that again. Gabriel is the next one, mighty one of God. And then the last one is Lucifer, which means light bearer. And he's spoken of there in Isaiah and Revelation. Now, let me close with this word, and we'll pray and we'll have the invitation. As we've seen here, angels are described, and they're described in a way that depicts how they've been set apart as being special, or how they have been created to do what they do. And then they've also been described with names or descriptions that show us what their assignment is. And I would simply remind us all tonight that these angels, in every case, I'm talking about the good angels, the holy angels, they live up to their name. Their name means something to them. The name angel, as we've said, means messenger. That's who they are. So when God gives them a message, and we don't know how that goes, if it's in an audible voice or some way communicates to them to take this message from heaven to earth, they're on it because that's who they are. That's what they do. And what a reminder that should be to all of us, because just like the angels have names, we have names. I've already mentioned one. We're the saints. We're the holy ones. We ought to live like it. Amen? We're soldiers. We're the sons and daughters of God. That's speaking about us. We're called that. We're servants. We're sheep. We need a shepherd. We need to stay close to the shepherd. We're ambassadors. And on the list goes. And what a reminder that we should live up to our name. True? So let that stick in our hearts. And if there's something in your life that you're not fulfilling, and you know you're not being true to who you really are, then make that right tonight. And let's bow together. Heavenly Father, impress upon us that we are just a part of your creation. And Lord, we're a special part because we're not only created, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Something that cannot be said of any angel, but is said of us. And so just like they understand who they are and why they've been made, I pray, Lord, we would all recognize who we are by your goodness and by your grace. And may we recognize as redeemed children, redeemed saints, we should fulfill our role and our assignment as well. So by your grace, help us to see that tonight. And to fulfill that for your honor and your glory, bless now this invitation. accomplish what needs to be done in our hearts, and help us to make those public commitments we ought to tonight, if need be. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.